Chapter 16. I waited near the edge of the encampment with my friends and the soldiers. The air around us was tense and excited as the army milled about, and we listened for the order to march out. Eknome herself would lead the Dolrath and Grimthorn forces. I felt like I should have been worried, or nervous, but the Dolrath's dedication to their martial lifestyle and pragmatic views on death and battle had rubbed off on me. I wanted to prevent as much bloodshed as possible and protect the lives of my soldiers, but some death was inevitable. At least in a fight like this, it had a worthy reason. "Take these," I said to Bakoth and Scourge as I handed them the Pro-X headphones I'd gotten for them. "They'll protect your ears better than the earplugs." I unfortunately wouldn't be able to give Zuag his headphones until we reached the battlefield, but I didn't dwell on this for long. Sometimes the timing wasn't perfect. The general put his on, and the band around the head cut his mohawk in half in a comical way.
"I'm not sure they work, Eddie," Bakoth said with a concerned look. "I can hear everything."
"You will until I fire my rifle, or there's a crazy loud sound of any kind," I snorted. "Then they come on and block out the sound."
"Fascinating,"
the hawk-faced man replied as he put the headphones around his neck, like he'd seen my wives and I wear them.
"This is very thoughtful,"
Scourge commented and pursed his lips.
"But I'm not sure how I'll get them on."
"I hadn't thought of that." Amrila's horns were small and pointed, so they didn't get in the way of her headphones. But Scourge basically had two ram's horns that came out of the top of his forehead and swept back over his dark hair. "If you slide them over the back of your head," I said as I thought the problem through, "can you fit them underneath your horns?" The Zinkari man tried that, and it took some effort, but the Pro-X's ended up over his ears. The way he slid them on made his sleek hair stick up at weird angles, though.
"How do they look?"
Scourge asked as he looked at Bakoth and me.
"Splendid!"
The general choked back a bark of laughter as he stared at the thief's wild hair.
"What does it matter?"
"Just because I don't get caught up in silly romantic nonsense doesn't mean I don't take pride in the fact that I'm gorgeous,"
the gray-skinned man retorted. "I also have this for you," I said as I struggled to keep a straight face. "I did what you asked me to, back in the twilight." I didn't want to bring up Scourge's mother directly, but I knew he would understand what I meant. Then I handed Scourge the dagger, and the thief took it and turned it over in his hands.
"She would have liked this,"
the Zinkari said in a quiet tone.
"Who would have?"
Bakoth asked with a polite curiosity.
"I'll tell you some other time,"
Scourge replied with a dismissive wave of his hand.
"What does it do?"
"It's supposed to help you hide and sneak up on enemies," I explained, "and when you draw blood with it, it'll take some of it and use it for the magical exchange thing."
"A very useful thing."
The thief hummed in that same pensive tone. Suddenly, the call to move out came down the line, and the army began to move. It was a long march to the Inni territory, and it felt like it took forever for the entire force to move through the narrow tunnels that led to Bermshire. The Spike Keepers marched with my small group of soldiers, and I found myself next to the sandy-haired gnome as we filed through one of the smaller tunnels and almost came to a halt for a short while. "I didn't get a chance to ask your name earlier," I said in a conversational tone, and I tried not to think about my claustrophobic surroundings.
"I do not have a name, as you know them,"
the leather-clad warrior replied.
"Fucking creepy-ass Grimthorn gnomes."
"Okay," I nodded, "but there's gotta be something I can call you."
"I am known as the Third,"
the blonde gnome answered.
"Because I am third in line for the leadership of Grimthorn. That's why I've been granted the right to speak. Our leaders are sent to the other gnome villages to learn the art, in case we should have to communicate with outsiders. Hi, Warden."
"Yeah," I frowned as I heard that weird title again. "Why High Warden?"
"That's how we refer to you,"
Third said as he gave me a rare grin.
"Except for the village children. They call you Half-Giant."
"Just don't let Bakav hear that," I chuckled. "It already takes him 10 minutes to introduce me."
"We call you High Warden because there is no gesture for Eddie Hill in our language,"
Third continued.
"But we have learned that it is your character to protect and care for others, and you're very tall."
"Well," I laughed, "it's definitely not the worst name anyone has called me." Just then, we finally came out of the tunnels and started to march past Bermshire. And I saw some of the farmers and villagers who cheered for us as we passed. Scouts were sent out before the army to look for trouble and signs of Yeni forces. If everything worked according to plan, the Dolrath would gather in the Great Forest to draw Ursinger in, and then the Karardu would come in soon after to corral the Yeni in the middle of the two armies. I hoped it all worked out like we wanted. There was no form of immediate communication down here, so we had to rely on fast runners. I'd considered getting walkie-talkies, but I didn't think they would work underground and through stone corridors. Hopefully, the fast runners were really fucking fast. The Dolrath army moved up through the gloom growth, and then the call came to halt near the edge of the Great Forest as we waited for word from the scouts. "Let's move up and find Ektome," I said to my soldiers and the spike keepers. "I'd like us to be in the vanguard when we enter the forest. That way, we're in place when the other generals clear the way for us." My men nodded, so we started to make our way up through the other soldiers. Soon, I spotted the Dolrath chief and the throng of warriors, and she had several generals and two scouts with her.
"Eddie,"
Ektome nodded curtly to me.
"I'm glad you're here. I was about to send for you. These scouts have brought word from our people in the forest that Ursinger's forces have entered the eastern side of the forest. It seems he's taken the bait, but we'll need to move quickly to engage them before any of his nictors can spot us and tell him where we are or how large our forces are."
"Okay," I nodded back. "I want my unit to march to the front of the army. While we go through the forest, my archers can pick off any nictors we spot in the air, so they can't tell Ursinger shit. It'd be better if Nylame and I could shoot them out of the air, but the sound of gunfire would give away our position."
"Good luck, my son,"
Ektome replied as she put a hand on my shoulder.
"Our hopes rest with you."
"Don't worry," I rumbled as I stood to my full height. "I'm gonna end this." The chief smiled at me, and I turned to my soldiers. "Once the fighting starts," I said with a confidence I didn't know I had, "our goal is to push through the Yeni forces. Stay behind Nylame, Amreel, and me, while we keep our path open with rifle fire. Make sure to protect the spike keepers, so they can do their work once we find Ursinger. Keepers, I want you to make a nice big area for us to fight the Mad Chief. He won't go down easy. My wives and I will be focused on Ursinger, so everyone else should focus on any of the Yeni soldiers that get trapped in the spike wall with us. Understood?"
Yes, Shield brother,
my soldiers shouted. The Grimthorn gnomes gave a low, powerful grunt in reply, and I saw the spike vine saplings in their packs wave and swell in size in response to the sound. "Move out!" I yelled as I turned and moved to the head of the army. As my unit reached the front line of the Dolrath army, the command to move up came, and I marched at the head of a sea of warriors. Because my unit was small, we pulled ahead of the rest of the force and entered the Great Forest. I recognized where we were and followed the river deeper into the gnarled trees and thick underbrush. As we approached the clearing where I'd first found Ibsith, I heard a series of squeaks, paused, and looked around. On a low tree branch, I spotted the scarred leader of the Brownies, with two of his little warriors perched on the branch on either side of him. "Scourge," I said over my shoulder, "I need your help." The Zinkari man and I walked up to the branch, and the thief started to squeak back and forth with our tiny allies. I was still amazed that Scourge knew the language of the Brownies, and I absently wondered if he would teach me someday. But we had to live through today first.
"He says the eastern part of the forest is crawling with Yeni,"
the gray-skinned man told me once he'd conferred with the Brownie leader.
"But we knew that."
"Ask him if he knows if Ursinger is with them and where he is," I replied. Scourge spoke with the fierce Brownie a few moments longer.
"He says he doesn't know."
The thief shook his head.
"But he has offered his help to find out. They want to fight with us."
I looked at the Brownies and wondered what they planned to do against an army dozens of times their size. While they looked like rats, they were a little bigger, but they still weren't even a foot tall. "If they can safely find out where Ursinger is, that would be a big help," I said. "But they shouldn't risk themselves. I don't want hundreds of trampled Brownies on my conscience." The scarred Brownie puffed up his chest and started to squeak, so I looked at Scourge to translate.
"He's offended," the thief snorted. "This is his forest, and he and his people will protect it. They'll find the Yeni chief and lead you to him."
"Thank you." I inclined my head to the Brownies. The scarred Brownie bowed back to me, and then they scampered down the tree and disappeared into the undergrowth. Scourge and I shared a look before we continued marching forward with the others. We hadn't even gone half a mile before Therius spotted the first nictor. The slender woman immediately fired two arrows, and the creature seized up in the air, fell, and crashed into the trees. Chatteron and Therius took out three more Nictor scouts before we saw the first Yeni soldiers. As my unit picked our way between the trees, I finally spotted several Yinni scouts in their bluish leather armor. We were only a few hundred yards from the clearing, and I held up my hand for the soldiers to halt. Then we crouched into the underbrush, and Chatteron kneeled at my side, knocked an arrow, and looked at me. I nodded, and the bald elf loosed his arrow and caught one of the scouts in the neck. The Yinni gave a strangled cry and fell backwards, and the others looked around as they drew weapons. Then there was a loud battle cry from further off in the woods. Somewhere, the fight had begun.
"Attack!"
I shouted as I stood and shouldered the Galil. As I opened fire, Nylame and Amrila came up beside me, while Chatteron fell back, and we quickly took out the other two Yinni scouts before I heard the screech of Nyctors.
"Forward!"
I commanded, and my soldiers and I ran forward to find the main Yinni forces. The rest of the Dolrath army had caught up with us, and the forest around me was now filled with warriors in beetle shell armor. As we ran, Yinni soldiers started to rush through the trees at us. I fired at one, and my bullet ripped through his skull and blew his brains out the other side in a spray of blood and gray matter. Meanwhile, the sound of screams and shouts cut in and out as my headphones kicked on and off while my wives and I fired. Behind me, the spike keepers stayed in a small cluster, and my soldiers positioned themselves around the gnomes to fight off any Yinni that got too close. As we slowly crept forward, I could see Scourge briefly appear in a swirl of black smoke, cut the throat of a Yinni spearman, and then disappear again.
"Hold together, men!"
I heard Bakoth shout behind me.
"Protect the keepers! Protect our shield brother's back!"
My heart hammered against my chest, and the woods turned into chaos around us. All around me, the Yinni and the Dolrath ripped and tore into one another. The broad-faced Dolrath general I'd seen in the meeting house cleaved a Yinni swordsman's head in two with his halberd, turned and saw me.
"Push forward, men!"
the general shouted at the top of his lungs.
"Clear the path for the Goblin King!"
A regiment of Dolrath warriors surged forward and pushed back the Yinni, and I clicked on the laser of my Galil as my unit rushed forward to fill the gap. I used the laser to aim in the close quarters, and I fired at the Night Elf in blue leather that ran at me with his greatsword raised. The bullet blew a hole in the Yinni's chest, and he fell to the ground. I stepped over his body and looked for the next target, and Nylame fired her Vector at an archer as he shot off an arrow that buzzed past my head and missed me by inches. Suddenly, there was a puff of black smoke at my elbow, and Scourge was there with a brownie that clung onto his shoulder for dear life.
"Usinger is up ahead," the thief reported. "The brownie says he's surrounded by a group of lesser demons and four deformed night elves. They're in the clearing to the northwest."
"Bakoth!"
I shouted over my shoulder. "Tell the other generals to make the path to the northwest. Get us to the clearing." I knew everyone around us would be half deaf from the rifle fire, so there wasn't any point in me trying to shout at the other generals. The hawk-faced man broke away from the unit and fought his way through the battle. The red-haired general used his broad swords to cut his way past the enemy, and the Yinni fell in droves.
"Follow me!"
I shouted to my unit.
"Northwest, keep together!"
My wives and I turned toward the clearing, and I used my laser to home in on anyone in blue armor. But then a Nyctor swooped down in front of me, and I ducked out of the way of his sword just in the nick of time. As my knee hit the ground, I lifted the barrel of my rifle and shot at the bat-like bastard's chest. The Nyctor went off course and careened into a Yinni soldier before they both fell to the ground. Nylame kicked the dead Nyctor out of her way, and she fired two quick shots into the Yinni on the ground. Then the Dolrath generals began to shout commands, and the way toward the clearing started to open up as our forces worked to clear the path.
"Forward!"
I roared, and my unit ran as the Dolrath created a corridor through the Yinni army. Then I started to see orcs and night elves in dark brown armor dotted with metal rivets. The Karardu army had shown up, and I hoped they'd been able to flank the Yinni like we planned. The last thing I wanted was for Usinger to be able to slip away before I got to him. As the clearing came into sight, I saw Zuag slice through a Yinni general with his battle axe. I ran up to the orc captain and quickly pulled off my backpack while Amrila and Nylame watched my back.
"Here!"
I shouted as I pushed a pair of pro-axes into the big man's hands.
"Put these on and come with me!"
The band of the headphones were stretched to their limit, but Zuag pulled them over his huge head. Thankfully, I'd already turned them on and adjusted the volume.
"Is he close?"
the orc shouted, since his hearing was damaged from all the rifle fire up to this point.
"Yep!"
I shouted back so he could hear me.
"In the clearing!"
I put my backpack back on, grabbed the Galil, and then led the way through the trees. As we pushed into the clearing, I could finally see the Mad Chief. The roided-out freak had gotten even bigger since the last time I saw him, and his puffy lips were set in a sneer as he stood in the center of some snarling dirt demons. Ursinger watched the chaos of the battle, safe in the center of the clearing. The Yenny Chief's swollen chest had the glowing jewel in the center of it, and the skin around it was black and necrotic. Pustules covered his body, and Ursinger's skin was nearly white now. But the most horrific thing of all were the raw, cracked, and bloody bumps on his head, where two horns had started to grow. Among the pack of brittle, dehydrated-looking lesser demons surrounding the Mad Chief, there were four transformed night elves. They were misshapen creatures with dead eyes in their lopsided heads, and they showed almost no signs of intelligence. My hands began to sweat, and the adrenaline that pumped through my veins made my whole body vibrate. Fuck me. I hope this worked.
Switch mags!
I said to my wives as I dropped mine and snapped in one of Torek's new bullets. Then I turned to the gnomes.
Keepers, go!
The Dolrath and the Karardu army started to surround the clearing, and the spike keepers ran forward as my soldiers followed them.
Protect the Grimthor gnomes!
I shouted so loud that it tore up my throat as I provided covering fire. Because of all the rifle fire, I wasn't sure if my allies could hear me. I turned toward Amrila, and the Zinkari woman knew me so well that I didn't have to waste time to explain what I wanted her to do. The horned woman opened her mouth as her eyes went completely black, and then my Pro-X's kicked on as she magically augmented her voice. I saw Amrila's pouty lips form the words, "Protect the gnomes," and even though I couldn't hear her, I could feel the rumble of her words in my chest. Fuck yeah. I grinned and then turned my attention to the Mad Chief, and as I shouldered my rifle, I took a deep breath and aimed right at his swollen head. On my exhale, I squeezed the trigger three times. There was a burst of bright, white light as Ursinger's head snapped back, and the lesser demons around him recoiled from the light and began to bark and snarl. My wives and I moved behind some trees at the edge of the clearing as I heard the low grunts of the gnomes over the sounds of the battle that raged all around us. I could see Third to my left, his face blank as if he was in a trance, with two huge Karardu orcs on either side of him as they kept a group of Yenny back with their clubs and axes. The rhythmic grunts grew louder and more intense as I peeked out from around the tree. The Night Elf monsters had surrounded Ursinger, but I aimed for a gap between them and fired again. There was another burst of light, but I also missed, and one of the transformed elves roared as he doubled over. Shit! I spat and turned to my wives. We're gonna have to move closer. We don't want to get caught on the wrong side of the thorn wall anyway. Keep close together and mow down the lesser demons. I stepped out from around the trees and opened fire on the frenzied mud-colored fuckers that circled around the Mad Chief. The grunts of the gnomes rose and grew faster as the women and I blasted away the lesser demons. In front of me, Ursinger turned his red eyes toward me and snarled.
There he is!
The pale-as-a-corpse bastard pointed at me, and the veins in his neck bulged.
Get the vampire!
But as the deformed elves began to lumber toward my wives and me, the ground under our feet heaved and quaked. The spike keeper's grunts hit a crescendo as huge vines shot out around the edge of the clearing. The spiked vines heaved as they sprouted massive horns and snaked between the gnarled trees, and within seconds, the vines encircled us as they wove around themselves to form a 30-foot barrier. There was a stunned moment of silence as the ground grew still, and the soldiers, monsters, and the Yenny chief looked at the impenetrable thorn wall that had trapped them. Before that shock wore off, a swirl of black smoke formed right in front of Ursinger as Scourge appeared, stabbed his dagger into the possessed man's gut, and then pulled it out again. Ursinger screamed and lifted his huge arm to strike the Zinkari man, but Scourge disappeared again in a swirl of shadowy smoke.
Troll maneuver!
I called out to my wives, and the three of us shot apart as we began to fire at the Mad Chief and his abominations. The lesser demons went mad as they lashed out at anything near them, including the Yenny soldiers not caught in the thorn wall. But my unit reformed and engaged with the enemy. Chatteron and Tharius darted around the edge of the thorn wall as they shot arrows at the Nyctors that flew over the barrier. Zuag and Bakoth stood back to back, and they hacked and slashed at the now terrified Yenny foot soldiers that tried to rush them. I saw one Yenny general who attempted to climb the spiked vines to get away, but the vines came alive, and thorn tendrils wrapped around him as he screamed and was consumed by the vines. I tried to move to the left to get a good shot on Ursinger, but I was confronted by the dirt demons as they snarled and tried to grab me with their gnarled hands.
Fuck off!
I flashed the light on my Galil at them, and they recoiled and tried to cover their eyes as the light burned their skin. Then I fired several rounds, and the lesser demons exploded into clouds of dust that created a haze in the air. When I ran out of the brownish haze, I saw Anadan and Cannel take down one of the misshapen elves. Cannel cut through the tendons at the back of the ugly fuck's knee with his swords, and Anadan brought his sword up and sliced the monster's throat. Then the two warriors hacked away at the abomination until it wasn't moving anymore. I turned my attention back to Ursinger. All of his minions were engaged with my army, and he desperately chanted, unprotected and alone in the middle of the clearing. The Mad Chief's voice rumbled as he spoke in the language of the demons, and it sounded like a chorus of chants. I aimed right at the glowing jewel in his chest and fired three times.
Ah!
Ursinger wailed as the bullets hit and burst into white rays of light. Then Nilame fired, and the Inni Chief arched his back as she lit him up from behind. I could see the jewel embedded in Ursinger's chest was cracked, and a curl of dark, purple smoke seeped out of it. There were two holes where my other shots had hit, and the waxy skin around them had started to bubble and distend. Amrila shot at the chief and caught him in the side as Ursinger snarled with rage and then turned to sneer at me.
"I will eat your corpse as Ipsith watches,"
Ursinger spat.
"Then I'll fuck her until her belly swells with my offspring."
"That'll be hard to do that with my kid already in there," I growled back. The Mad Chief roared as his hand shot out, and a dart of dark energy crackled toward my head. I ducked and rolled out of the way as it sailed past me and hit a lesser demon that exploded on impact. I got to my feet just in time to dodge a heavy blow from a lumpy, blue arm, and when I turned, I saw one of the transformed elves looming over me.
"Eat this!"
I brought the Galil around and fired right at the bastard's face, and the fucker reeled back at the burst of light and covered his face with his bloated hands. Then Scourge appeared in a torrent of smoke, leaped into the air, and buried his dagger into the side of the monster's neck. The deformed elf's blood sprayed as the Zinkari hit an artery, and the beast toppled over.
"Good to see you,"
the thief grinned at me.
"Thanks,"
I snorted. "But if you'll excuse me." I turned and switched out mags at lightning speed, and then I stepped past the gray-skinned man as I aimed the red dot at the Mad Chief's chest again. The battle around me faded into the background as I fired with every step, and there were sudden bursts of light as my wives and I concentrated our fire on Ursinger's distorted trunk. The Yinni Chief's huge muscles tensed as the veins along his bare chest and arms stood out, and between the flashes of light, I could see the glow of the bullets that had embedded themselves in his swollen flesh. The pustules that covered his body began to burst, and pale yellow liquid oozed from them. Then all sound cut off as my headphones kicked in, and an explosive force pushed me back. Torek's bullets exploded, and the clearing shook with the force. As I was thrown back, I clung to the Galil and hit the ground, and the dirt demons began to burst like kernels of popcorn and filled the air with a choking dust cloud.
What the actual fuck?
As I got to my feet, I coughed and tried to catch my breath through the thick air. Then I stared at the spot where Ursinger had been as the dust settled, but my heart nearly stopped when I saw two red points of fire through the haze. A huge, dark figure moved in the haze as it struggled to lift itself off the ground. Then the dust started to recede, and I saw the Mad Chief get to his feet, but it didn't even look like Ursinger anymore. A massive, black-skinned, horned monster stood where the Yinni Chief had been, and tattered holes gaped and dripped gore in the thing's chest, face, and sides. Ah, fuck no. As the demonic beast let out a deafening roar, I saw a row of sharp teeth that dripped with ropes of thick saliva. Then the transformed Ursinger raised his black, clawed hands, and a ball of fire and dark energy began to form between them. I quickly started to switch out to my last mag of the supercharged magic bullets and prayed I'd be able to do it in time. But then a rain of tiny needle-like projectiles shot up from the ground.
What the?
I looked up and saw a swarm of brownies had surrounded the Mad Chief, and their sharp little arrows were enough to break the monster's concentration. Ursinger kicked out a large foot, and dozens of the rat-like people flew into the air. Then I clicked the new mag into place and ran up until I was only 10 yards away from the fucker.
"Ursinger!"
I shouted before I clicked on my flashlight and pointed it right at the bastard's face when he turned to look at me.
"No!"
The horned beast covered his face with his manhole-sized hands. I could see the black skin crack and bleed under the light. I lowered my aim to the broken jewel still in the beast's chest, and that same dark energy spewed out of it, like the smoke from a snuffed-out candle. I started to fire in rapid succession, and each bullet detonated with a bright, white light as chunks of gem and black flesh were blown away. Then, the light burst and flooded the clearing. When it finally dissipated, there were spots in my vision, but I saw Ursinger fall and hit the ground. The Yenny chief's body was a pale blue, and his stretched skin hung in loose folds. Ursinger had shrunk back to his normal size, and his corpse looked small and pathetic as he laid face down in a pool of blood and gore. A large wound gaped open on his back from where Nylamade shot him, and I could see his bloody spine and ribs. The remaining soldiers from all three armies in the clearing looked on in silence as the sounds of the battle outside of the Thorn Wall raged on. Then Amrila came up beside me and put her hand on my shoulder. "Tell them it's over," I said in a low voice as I looked at my fallen enemy and pulled off my headphones. The Sincari woman's eyes went black again as she lifted her face.
"Ursinger is dead,"
the horned woman intoned in a voice that echoed through the cavern.
"Lay down your arms! The Yenny chief is dead!"
Suddenly a cheer went up outside of the Thorn Barrier as the gloom celebrated the victory. "Ursinger's dead," I grinned as that truth sunk in. We'd won.